It's April 16th, 2023. 1707 hours, Ward Green here. That's 1707 hours Eastern Daylight Time. And our proverb for today is from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 13, where if we start in verse 12, a good-for-nothing man is, and then in verse 13, winking with his eye, making signs with his foot, making indications with his fingers. A good-for-nothing man is winking with his eye, making signs with his foot, making indications with his fingers. Now, before we read Genesis chapter 47, in our article, Wild Road, chapter 6, it's part 1, chapter 6, paragraph 10. The blessed genealogy may appear to be, in quotes, high in some regards for some dates to some observers who prefer lower dates. So it is of some import to note a point of departure in this regard when it comes to the Egyptian and Babylonian kingdoms at their inception, a start which occurs in our Bible-based view as sometime in the 28th century BCE, not the 31st century, as the advocates of Egyptian chronology may commonly suppose. There are no true standards in ancient chronology, the study of which is fraught with many vast difficulties. On the other hand, the Bible is the best final source. Only with reliable testimony may we seek a truth past, either from past testimony or from any remote viewing. Jesus believed that Israel wandered in the wilderness. We can see that at John 31 and John 6 and 31 and 6 and 49. There is no doubt that they had come forth from Egypt. The Egyptian calendar is therefore important to faith. There are so many variables, actually unknowns, in the time period of the 28th century BCE, that even the best knowledge available to date leaves much to be desired. Those are worse off who advocate the 31st century BCE. The further back we go, the more uncertainties we have. And had the Egyptian calendar originated at an earlier time than the 28th century, it is with less certainty. However, the 31st century is not a likely time for it. Most importantly, the 28th century is the most likely. That both are possible appears indicated by the dating of the Mayan long count calendar to 3114 BCE and Hindu religious dating for a Kali Yuga alignment to 3102 BCE. So there is some evidence for calendars that date sometime close to the 31st century BCE. But not the Egyptian calendar. That's not a likely time for that particular calendar to have begun, as we've already talked about too. But if we'd like to look at John 6, 31 and 49 before we do our Genesis reading, it's when I eat sugar. I noticed that it's not just the dairy. I thought it was the dairy products. But if I eat anything with sugar, that can affect my throat and make my voice more squeaky. It's not just the dairy, but the dairy does, I believe, do it also. Because the cow's milk, you see, cow's milk is not normal to a human because cows have more stomachs than a human. So if we eat the cow's milk, it causes congestion in the human body. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 31, our forefathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And John 6 and 49, your forefathers, Jesus said, ate the manna in the wilderness and yet died. Genesis chapter 47. But first, before we do this, well, no, I guess we can do this first, and then afterward we can talk about something else. I wanted to share something else, but we'll do the reading in Genesis, I believe. I think, I believe we should, since we're on the subject of the Bible. Accordingly, Joseph came and reported to Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds and all they have come from the land of Canaan. And here they are in the land of Goshen. And from the whole number of his brothers, he took 5 men that he might present them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, what is your occupation? So they said to Pharaoh, your servants are herders of sheep, both we and our forefathers. After that, they said to Pharaoh, we have come to reside as aliens in the land because there is no pasturage for the flock that your servants have, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. And now let your servants dwell, please, in the land of Goshen. At that, Pharaoh said to Joseph, your father and your brothers have come here to you. The land of Egypt is at your disposal. Have your father and your brothers dwell in the very best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know that there are among them courageous men, you must appoint them cattle chiefs over what is mine. Then Joseph brought in Jacob his father and introduced him to Pharaoh. And Jacob proceeded to bless Pharaoh. Pharaoh now said to Jacob, how many are the days of the years of your life? So Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my alien residences are 130 years. Few and distressing the days of the years of my life have proved, and they have not reached the days of the years of the lives of my fathers in the days of their alien residences. After that, Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Thus Joseph had his father and his brothers dwell, and he gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the very best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, just as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph kept supplying his father and his brothers and the entire household of his father with bread according to the number of the little ones. Before I forget, I want to tell a story. I was at one of the kingdom halls, I don't recall which one, and we were talking about our then circuit overseer, or our one-time circuit overseer, who was called Brother Kobeluk. And I mentioned this about our circuit overseer, Brother Kobeluk, and the brother who was there at this kingdom hall said in response to me, what I thought he said was, they are 5 men, all brothers. And so I said, there are 5 Kobeluks? And he said, his response was quite vehement in a way. He was quite insistent. He said, there's one Kobeluk. And then he said, well, then he realized that I had thought he said 5 men, but all brothers, but he'd actually said that they are fine men, all brothers. And that memory is quite vivid of the idea that there could have been 5 Kobeluks, all brothers. As that idea was a fairly memorable one, I think. So coming to now our continuation of the reading. Now there was no bread in all the land because the famine was very severe, and the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan became exhausted. as a result of the famine. And Joseph went on, picking up all the money that was to be found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the cereals which people were buying, and Joseph kept bringing the money into Pharaoh's house. In time, the money from the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan was spent, and all the Egyptians began coming to Joseph, saying, "Give us bread, and why should we die in front of you, because money has run out?" Then Joseph said, "Hand over your livestock, and I shall give you bread in exchange for your livestock, if money has run out." And they began bringing their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph kept giving them bread in exchange for their horses, and the livestock of the flock, and the livestock of the herd, and the asses. And he kept providing them with bread in exchange for all their livestock during that year. Gradually that year came to its close, and they began coming to him in the next year and saying to him, "You shall not hide it from my lord, but the money and the stock of domestic animals have been spent to my lord. There remains nothing before my lord but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we together with our land will become slaves to Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, and our land not be laid desolate." So Joseph bought all the land of the Egyptians for Pharaoh, because the Egyptians sold each one his field, for the famine had got a strong grip on them, and the land came to be Pharaoh's. As for the people, he removed them into cities from one end of the territory of Egypt to its other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, because the rations for the priests were from Pharaoh, and they ate their rations that Pharaoh gave them. That is why they did not sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "See, I have today bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Here is seed for you, and you must sow the land with it. When it has resulted in produce, then you must give a fifth to Pharaoh, but four parts will become yours as seed for the field, and as food for you, and for those who are in your houses, and for your little ones to eat." Consequently, they said, "You have preserved our lives. Let us find favor in the eyes of my lord, and we will become slaves to Pharaoh." And Joseph proceeded to make it a decree down to this day over the landed estate of Egypt for Pharaoh to have the amount of a fifth. Only the land of the priests as a distinct group did not become Pharaoh's. And Israel continued to dwell in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen. And they became settled in it and were fruitful and grew to be very many. And Jacob lived on in the land of Egypt for 17 years. So that Jacob's days, the years of his life, came to be 147 years. Gradually the days approached for Israel to die. So he called his son Joseph and said to him, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, place your hand, please, under my thigh, and you must exercise loving kindness and trustworthiness toward me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, and I must lie with my fathers, and you must carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their grave." Accordingly, he said, "I myself shall do in keeping with your word." Then he said, "Swear to me." So he swore to him. At that, Israel prostrated himself over the head of the couch. That's the end of Genesis chapter 47. Remember where there were 7 years of plenty and then 2 years of famine, and then Jacob came into Egypt with his family in 1914 BCE, but that was therefore 7 plus 2 is 9 years after Joseph began to rule in 1923. So, and at that time in 1914, notice that Jacob's age was 130 years old, he told Pharaoh. And then 17 years later, when he was near death, he was 147 years old. But he was 130 years old at this time in 1914. At that time, that was 9 years after Joseph had stood before Pharaoh at his age of 30. 30 years old plus 9 is 39. So Joseph was 39 years old when his father was 130 years old. That means that Jacob was 130 minus 39, or 91 years old at the time when he begot Joseph as a son, in other words. So Joseph was born when Jacob was 91 years old. That's a useful thing to be able to calculate from this chapter here. And in our dating, in the genealogy, that birth of Joseph is in 1953, or perhaps very late, or somewhat late in 1954 BCE. And the birth of Jacob is therefore in either 2045 or 2044 BCE, approximately speaking anyway. So, but possibly exact, one of those 2 years. So now we have something else I want to share with you, which is from Dr. Cathcart, the late Dr. Cathcart, talking about cancer and vitamin C. Let's see if I can play this. I'm trying to decide whether I should maximize this. Oh, that's probably a little better. Yeah, okay. You hear that? We're not hearing that. I just realized you're not hearing that. The output, let me think. The output, I think, is the problem. Let me go and try that again. MacBook Pro. Okay, output should be MacBook Pro speakers. Let's try that again. Maybe that'll work better. Yeah.
Now, there have been other studies.
Yeah.
Like the Mayo Clinic study. I really don't remember the details. It was so Mickey Mouse. I mean, they used patients who had had chemotherapy before, and they only did small amounts and so forth. It just wasn't valid. And besides that, when Linus Pauling was on the right track about vitamin C and cancer, but when he wrote the book, he didn't realize the massive doses that would be necessary to do this in some cases. And so now, as we're getting to higher and higher doses, we're getting better and better results. Because, as I say, the treatment of cancer doesn't depend upon neutralizing of free radicals, in my opinion. It has to do with this formation of peroxide in every cell of the body.
So that is fascinating from someone who is a pioneer in using vitamin C to treat vast numbers of different conditions. Of course, all infections in the body, whether they be viral or bacterial, have been treated successfully with mega doses, what most people call mega doses or large doses of vitamin C. Although, when we listen to more of the videos provided by these interviews with Dr. Cathcart, we learn how very safe vitamin C is, in fact, and how useful it is to have massive quantities in the body, because it cleans, for example, even though oxalate can be produced in the kidneys by having vitamin C in massive quantities, when kidney stones are formed, in another one of these videos, Dr. Cathcart relates that in every case where they examined the kidney stones, they found bacteria at the center of these kidney stones. So because the vitamin C is in massive quantities, it prevents any infection and all bacteria are dead. There's no way to form a kidney stone, or so it would appear, except there were two cases out of 30,000 patients in which kidney stones happened in the use of vitamin C as a treatment by Dr. Cathcart, and there were only two cases, and in one of those cases they resolved it the kidney stones were resolved by treating with more vitamin C and vitamin B6 and magnesium. So there weren't a lot of cases that caused any kidney stones in the treatment with vitamin C. But it's used in the treatment of cancer in massive quantities of ascorbate or vitamin C. Okay, so that's today's study. There are always lots of things we could study. And we now have studied Joseph and Jacob up to the point where Jacob is about to pass away. And also, it was in the days when it was still acceptable to swear to somebody as a promise, to perform or utter an oath of some kind. People could swear by their God or swear by something that was important to them. But in the days of Jesus, Jesus did away with that because he said, don't swear by anything. Don't swear at all, he said. Just let your yes mean yes and your no, no. And that was the end of all of these older habits that people had of swearing about things. In the Old Testament, we see that that did happen. So Jesus brought in a new covenant, and part of that new covenant was we weren't needing to swear. We don't need to swear about things. We don't need to promise using an oath. It doesn't refer to using profanity. It refers to using an oath of some kind to solemnify the promise. So we don't need to do that. Just if we say yes, if we promise and say yes, then we should keep our word, and it's that simple. So for today, April 16th, 2023, it is 17:29 hours. I hope you enjoyed this. I love you very much, little children. I hope you have a wonderful day. God bless you. And may you receive many blessings from the Son of the true God, Jesus Christ, also the Messiah. And when we are wrapping this up, I want to talk a little bit about my watches, because my Kami watch is now, which is the Kamasu, Kami is now running slow by 3 seconds or two or three seconds, and I can't find a way to speed it up just yet or speed her up. I can't get her to run at the speed she was running, which is perfect for the first day or so. But I'm trying to let her run face up now, dial up. If she runs dial up, then that will, there's no gravity. If I have her crown up, then she's running uphill part of the time, and that can slow down the movement. I'm going to be investigating what I can do about that, but anyway, we still have more things to learn about watches in the future, and without giving anything too much away. So for Ward Green today, it's Moppy and Hammy the Crow saying bye for now.